Welcome to the Lockdown Dads podcast with me, Ian Dinwiddie, and my co-host, James Miller. We have 46 episodes available for you to explore with us and our amazing guests. Among many fascinating conversations, learn the personal stories and pandemic insights from politicians, PhDs, and an international rock star. If you do enjoy the content, why not visit inspiringdads.co.uk and sign up for our next webinar that explains why supporting new dads at work is the route to gender equality. Hi everyone and welcome to episode 12 of Lockdown Dads. My name's Ian Dinwiddie. I'm a coach, I'm a father of two kids and I specialise in helping stressed dads balance work and fatherhood.
And I'm James Miller, editor of workingdads.co.uk, author of Dads Don't Babysit and father to two different children who are aged 12 and 9. This week we're delighted to be joined as our guest by Rob Taylor. He is a marketing man, he is a Yorkshire man, and he is the founder of Dads in Business. You see, I had to look at the bit of paper. I mean, Dads in Business should be remember, really, shouldn't it? But I felt like looking at the paper. Before we fire into the sort of how are you conversation, do you want to just tell us in your own words what Dads in Business is, Rob?
Yeah, so it was... hello, by the way. Thank you for inviting me on. It's nice to be here. So the Dads in Business project was something that I set up, must have been 18 months ago, I think, when not long after being self-employed. I was just basically saying yes to doing a lot of work, just saying yes, 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 get busy. It was redundancy that put me into my own self-employment. So as I'm sure we'll delve into it, it was very much a case of I was out to prove a point to everyone else, myself, saying yes to everything. If there was a free slot in my diary, I'd basically say yes to go to a networking event, a meeting, a coffee, or whatever it is. It was to prove a point. And I was just finding myself saying yes to everything. But it was at a networking event, ironically, about 9 o'clock on a rainy Thursday night, when my colleague of the Dads in Business project, Angad Kara, who's an exec burnout coach specializing on men's mental health, he was doing a talk around burnout, and he was listing all the things that signify burnout, and I was sat there through sort of one sleepy eye almost saying, yep, yeah, that's me, that's me, oh dear, oh God, let's have a conversation. And I was thinking, well, maybe then from Angus' perspective of the men's mental health side and my, struggles, I make no bones about it, I've found being a dad and running your own business very difficult. I've got three young kids. The eldest been 6 and a half, the youngest is 1 and a half, four boys. So it's quite challenging because you do have to still pay attention to your business. And I was like, Anger, there's something in this. Can you tweak this and help it for dads ultimately? And I'll raise my head above the parapet and see what happens. Because I was half expecting to get shot down. I was like, what do dads need anything for? You're all fine, aren't you? But I think as soon as I did that, it was amazing not only how many men sort of said, oh, that sounds like me. That's me as well. I'm glad you've said it. But there was partners, wives, moms tagging in dads and partners, which I felt was quite refreshing. So I thought, oh, yeah, I'm glad that's been addressed like that and not the other way around where you do get shot down. So, yeah, the Dads in Business thing, to get to the point, is it's basically a support group, forum for dads who, you know, we're all dads. I think we have a unique set of circumstances. I don't like to use the word problems or issues. I think it's a unique set of circumstances where we have responsibilities in an environment that we don't and can't always talk about in the environments that we hang out in. So if we go to the pub with friends, we can't always talk about the struggles with kids or the struggles with business. You don't want to talk about it. You go home and the missus says, how's business? Great. It always has to be great. Yeah. And it might not be. So I tried to create this space and this forum for conversations like that to happen where we can be honest about it. You know, if you go to a networking event, everyone's busy. Yeah. Everyone's doing really well at business at networking event. But it's amazing when you actually pull the curtain back a little bit. And you give permission, to use one of Anger's phrases, you give permission for dads to talk about their own issues. That's all it needs. and then this floodgate opens. It's a really powerful piece, as you were both aware through your own networks.
Yeah, and let's start where we always do, with a question that comes up a lot at networking events, but is now a bit more important. You know, you go to networking events, people go, "How are you?" "Yeah, all right." Well, after 4 months of lockdown, it's become a much more loaded question. So we'll start with you, Rob. You know, this week or in general, at the end of, I think we're coming to the end of the lockdown experience. How are you?
I'm okay. I was thinking about this because, you primed me with this. It's like we normally start with the "How are you?" question. And I went, "Yeah, I'm fine." But then I asked myself that question again. I went, "No, but how are you?" I think I'm all right. Yeah. I'm reflecting back on the beginning of lockdown where, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, hindsight? I actually quite enjoyed that first 3 or 4 weeks because it almost forced routine into me. Mm-hmm. Whereas you couldn't go out to networking events, you couldn't go out for coffees, you couldn't go out for one-to-ones. So, but I had to keep an eye on business as well. So it was a place of, well, I'm going to sort the kids' breakfast with the missus. Then I'm going to sit in my bedroom and fashion a desk up. 2 hours of work. Then I'm going to be done by the kids' lunchtime. And then after that, it was like sort of kids' time, family time, park time, whatever it may be. Yeah. And that went on for a good 4 to 6 weeks, I reckon, before anything changed. And looking back, it was actually quite nice. Yeah. And I say in the training sessions that we do and stuff, it's kind of like, well, we've all been forced into a position of living differently. And have you enjoyed that? If you were working 80 hours a week and now you're working this many, why is the goal to get back to 80 hours a week?
Yeah.
Let's make the goal to be more like this side of things, but obviously make that pay.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real interesting setup.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, we found out, a lot of people said that first lockdown, once you got over the initial shock, there was nothing you could do. So it was quite pleasant, actually. You know, a lot of the causes of stress were taken out of your hands because you couldn't leave the house. And actually, that was, you know, not the worst thing about all this.
I've heard it mentioned, about people who have mental health difficulties have actually found this quite helpful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the control was always taken away. It's like, this is what you're doing. And it's always helped people, I think, with mental health issues, which is an interesting take.
Ian, how are you this week?
Not too bad. I had my socially distanced, what was going to be a picnic turned into a barbecue. And just that kind of interaction with people face to face. We've done a little bit of it, but it's probably only the second family we've seen kind of in real life. Since all this started, so that was pretty cool. My daughter had 2 days at school, which she really enjoyed. So school, today is, we're recording on a Friday. Today is the end of school term, summer term, which kind of feels, which is a bit weird. It is certainly sort of down here it is, and that's a bit of a weird thing, but. Looking ahead, I guess at the moment I know you went to the pub last week 4 times, didn't you, James, or the week before last? We're going out for lunch on Sunday to the local gastro pub. Ooh. And I'm much more excited about it than the kids are. It's like, celebrate the end of school and, you know, well done kids, good reports, let's go out. And I'm like, I wonder whether it's open, how easy it is to get a table. And actually pretty straightforward. And, you know, I'm actually, because it's lunchtime and it's a Sunday, and yeah, there won't be too many people heavy drinking probably at that time of day. It's I'm expecting it just to be nice.
I don't want to build up your expectations, but yeah, I mean, I haven't been to the pub this week, but we did go out for dinner. Same thing. Kids got their school reports on Wednesday, and it was a nice night. And I was like, oh, do you know what? Let's just go out for dinner. Yeah, well done, you all.
Yeah.
Down to the local tapas place. Mm. Not that East Dulwich is, you know, massively poncy or anything, but, you know, opposite the French wine shop, you know, the tapas place. And it was, you know, we sat there, and we always knew it was really good food, partly because I just want to support them because it's a nice place and I feel like, you know, people won't be going out and it's a really, you know, they're nice people, they make good food and they deserve our support. And it was, we sort of sat there at one point and it was just, you know, it was one of those rare moments where you think, this is nice, isn't it? You know, this is, we're all right, you know, 4 of us having nice food, everyone, you know, no kids playing up, There's a couple of other people in there, so there's a little, it wasn't completely empty. It was one of those, you know, you sort of sat back and go,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, it usually sort of happen on holiday. You sort of just go, oh, right, enjoy this moment, because there's not that many of them come along, so make the most of it. So yeah, hopefully it'll be like that for you at the weekend when you're
Hopefully. So, Rob, in terms of the stuff that you do, and you know your work with dads in particular, how has that continued during lockdown? How has dads in business kind of continued to support each other?
So we have. It's been a little difficult because we used to get together in physical spaces. I think that is part of the magic of it. Certainly, personally, I like to go and see people where possible. So, as everyone got used to this dreaded new normal, as we talk about, and everyone's on Zoom all day long, we waited for a couple of weeks, a few weeks to sort of get back into it, because there was a lot of Zoom noise and everyone was jumping on, and there wasn't really any value to some of it. So we have a little WhatsApp group. I think there's about 15, 20 of us in that group. So we keep checking on each other. It's a bit of a laugh as well sometimes. And then, yeah, we have sort of ad hoc, sporadic Zoom calls like this for now, until we can get back into things.
Have you picked up anything, you know, specifically daddy, you know, stuff that dads in particular have experienced in lockdown? Because it is a different experience if you are, I mean, particularly, you know, you are not a typical dad, perhaps, in the sense that you do the stuff dads in business, but at the same time, you've got the business, you're worried about running your own business. There's that's quite a typical dad thing to be, the sort of the breadwinner to some extent, or, you know, you feel like you are.
You're right. I mean, that's the role that I certainly assumed, and I think others assume that role, don't they? Whether it's right or wrong or whatever, I think that just happens. But I think the common thread is almost that, like I said back in the beginning, people have actually quite enjoyed it. Because they've been granted that time where they don't have to go out and work 80 hours a week all day long. They're actually enjoying a bit of time. And yet, maybe that will flip now because the pressure of being the breadwinner is now allowed again, if you like, we've been granted that permission to go out and work again now. So maybe that will flip, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But for now, I think there is a air of positivity about it. On the whole, dads have enjoyed spending time with their kids, I think.
And as a self-employed dad, what's it been like? Because, well, I mean, some businesses obviously have been able to do absolutely nothing for the last 4 months. Some have continued as normal. So what's it been like?
It was frustrating, to be honest, because 2020 was actually looking, until March 20th, it was looking like a cracking year. I have a few different projects, so I've got a history of working in the music industry and the entertainment industry, so I still keep my toe in that, but it's more of a hobby-based thing.
Industry is now just a hobby. It's not an industry anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, the music hobby. Yeah, it's a scary time. Yeah, we've probably had about 15 events, which we're doing quite well through spring, autumn, and winter. Overnight, we've not sold a ticket in 4 months, and it's just. Yeah. It's devastating. So that was frustrating. I have a couple of training projects as well that I work on. One with heating engineers, which is thankfully done really well throughout the lockdown. It's a time when sort of your typical tradesperson, they're the ones working 80 hours a week. Yeah. They got told they can't. So they actually focused on working on their business. So it was actually quite a good time in that one. And then another sales training program, which I've developed with my office colleague, Steve. That was looking great in March. And then because that sort of bigger B2B corporates is like, well, everything's paused until we know what on earth is going on. So that's just starting to turn a corner again now. So I think autumn, winter should be good. Mm-hmm. All the events that we had in 2020 have moved over to 2021. So next year's sort of a game of catch up, if you like. But I was lucky where, I run my business where I sort of partition some every month. I'm not one of these where it's whatever I earn goes into my account. It's like whatever I earn, I split. So it's like, you know, you structured it for a rainy day, and it's just we've had a bit of a rainy season, haven't we?
Yeah.
So luckily in that respect, I've been okay. But there's been so many that have just slipped through the cracks that, man, it's sad to see.
I mean, how are we feeling? I mean, obviously we're recording this just after. Your man Boris Johnson has been up said, it's all over, COVID's finished, basically. It'll all be over by Christmas. Ooh, I've heard that before somewhere. That doesn't usually work out very well. What did you make of it, Ian? What did you make of Boris's thing? Because there was, I would suggest there was some interesting points and omissions from what he just said.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in that it'd been trailed in the last kind of week or so, as he was going to be much more kind of direct in terms of instructions. Right, you've got to go back to work, because, you know, in big cities in particular, you know, the footfall just isn't there, and London is suffering more than anywhere because of the tourist trade, and also people aren't traveling into the office because you can't really drive into London and park very easily. You can't commute to work in anything other than by public transport, and that's kind of had that, you know, you've had that sense of, you know, if you can, you know, if you have to travel by public transport. But he, you know, it's a classic thing at the moment with the government, is different, you know, different ministers are saying different things. You've got Matt Hancock saying one thing, you know, earlier this week. He was talking about sort of working from home being part of the solution to keeping coronavirus at bay. Boris says something different this week. And then today he kind of goes back to this kind of sensible sort of angle, which the note I made was, the quote was, recognition that working from home had worked well for both employers and employees, which I think is a good thing. And it has, for a large point. I just hope there's a degree of choice involved in how individuals get to structure how they work and where they work. I understand the economic argument. I think it's, but I don't know.
But the trouble with the choice issue, and this is a blog I've just put on workingdads.co.uk this morning. I put it up before Boris spoke, because I might be out of date in about half an hour, so I'll whack it on the site now. Okay.
It works.
The big missing thing, and I think you'll, maybe this doesn't apply to you quite so much, Rob, because of the age of your children, but school holidays have just started. The hell are you doing telling people to go back to work on the 1st of August? What are they going to do with the nurseries are shut, the schools are shut? You know, it's a classic thing. I mean, I saw somebody on Twitter saying, we can tell there's no women in the room, and I think that's a valid point, but you could also equally say there's no engaged dads in the room. You're the man who's just had a baby and is not thinking about parents. Oh, really, Boris? Yeah. But that just seemed, for all we've, through the last 4 months, been talking about recognizing that people have a hinterland and a family and all the rest of it, I just completely ignored the reality of most parents' lives, which is, we've got 6 weeks and there's no clubs. You know, there's not even any holiday clubs. You can't, your grandparents, a lot of grandparents are shielding. Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether, it appears I can now visit my mom in Scotland, but, and she'll be able to come here. But, you know, there's still issues around having grandparents, using them as backup childcare. It's just, this is a massive omission from what you're saying compared to the reality of most parents' lives.
Yeah.
I mean, how did it land in Sheffield as well? I'm interested, you know, the faraway, exotic place of Sheffield. But, you know, again, there's been a lot of talk about saving Pret-a-Manger. Well, that drives me nuts, because in London, there's a Pret-a-Manger every few yards. But as I know from visiting other cities around the UK, there's not that many Pret-a-Mangers in other cities. And of course, in London, it's all about public transport to get to work. In most of the rest of the UK, people still use their cars a lot. You know, how does it land with you and where you are, Rob?
Well, we are blessed with two Pret-a-Mangers in Sheffield. although soon to be one, actually, because the city centre one is one of the ones that's closing. I think on that, there's been so much mixed messaging from the off, and that's not to make a political point of what's happened. I think everyone can agree it's been mixed messaging, and it's just, people have got into new habits now, haven't they? They've been told for 4 months or whatever it is now, don't go to work. And now they've been told overnight, go back to work. No, because I saw a bus earlier go past it. It had a capacity of 19 people. So unless they're going to suddenly produce three times as many buses, the same amount of people can't physically get to or from anywhere anyway. The high street, I think, you know, Sheffield's long had its issues with the high street anyway. It should have innovated many years ago with various different things. This, I fear, might be the final nail in the high street coffin, not just for Sheffield, but for many. I mean, I think I saw John Lewis said something like 70% of their trade was online now.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, I guess, slightly older demographic retailers, the last to go online, if you like. But it's a bad signal, isn't it? Why do we go into class city centres anymore?
And what's it looking like for you with three small children in terms of, because what, how many are at school? Just the one?
My oldest.
I know they're very close in ages, I remember.
So he's just finished his year one. The youngest two have a couple of days split between nursery, and the middle one goes to preschool every, but he's not been able to do that because they've been focusing on kids starting school in September, which, you know, is fair enough. Priorities is cool. But yeah, in terms of that message of, yeah, go back to work, but then what about the childcare? It's an interesting one. I guess we're lucky. My missus just works 2 days a week, but the place she works is, she's on furlough anyway, so that should be all right. Mm. Working for myself, I can create that flexibility where needed. It's not ideal, don't get me wrong. My mum helps out with the kids, but again, there'll be others that are shielding, like you say.
Yeah.
It's going to be a right mess and a tangle, isn't it?
I do think as dads, we need to talk about it as well, because I get why childcare is seen as a working mum's issue, and, you know, not staying away from that. But it's also a working, why is it not, you know, we produce the children, we've got to figure out how they get cared for now.
We're playing Mike some part in it.
Be on mum or whatever. You've got to be part of that conversation, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it's that challenge about pushing back, isn't it? That's the thing we've been talking about before, is when the economy is teetering a little bit, and the assumption is that men find it easier to go back to work. It's going to take a certain degree of bravery, if that's the right word, to sort of push back and say, actually, this doesn't work for me. Just to be, you know, on the tube going into, you know, sorry about a London example, but, you know, just to be back in the office as if nothing's happened is going to put pressure. Someone's got to look after those children. And you feel 1st of August, you know, if you say 1st, 2nd of September, then it a month later becomes possibly, hopefully, a different kind of calculation, I think. There should be more. I'm lucky. My kids are actually, the school's opening up for a couple of weeks and they're doing a holiday club. So my kids are in for 6 days. And I, again, I'm more excited than they are, definitely. Let's be honest. So that's quite a novelty. So looking forward to that. But they, interestingly enough, they've prioritized the children from the years that didn't go back to school. So although they're kind of separate, although the sense of reception year one, year six is an education issue, they are now prioritizing childcare for childcare options, essentially. I mean, it's not even a full school day, let's be honest, 5 hours. But they're prioritizing prioritizing a childcare issue versus an education issue. So there's kind of these slightly mixed messages, which is quite interesting, but we've embraced it.
Is it something that comes up in the Dads in Business, you know, where there were just, you know, the meetups that were before lockdown or the WhatsApp chat as it is now? You know, what are the sort of main topics that come up as areas of concern?
So we split the Dads in Business ethos, if you like, into four areas, and the events always focus on a topic within those areas. So we break it down into work and business as one of them, family, money, and then your personal life as well. Because we find that the first thing to go when we have a family and a growing family and a business is we forget what we actually enjoy doing in life ourselves. Yeah. So we talk a lot about work-life balance, time management. Self-esteem was a topic last time. We talk about money, the management of the goal and the role of money in our life. Why are we always chasing it all the time, but we don't know why we deserve it or what we want from it. So they're really good and varied topics that don't really get talked about. They can be a bit taboo, I guess, in normal conversations and normal settings. I think a big one moving forward is going to be that self-esteem piece. You know, if people do end up losing their businesses, do end up losing their jobs, find themselves short of money, there's a male pride thing about that.
Yeah.
So I think the self-esteem issue might play more of a role moving forward. Certainly time management, I think, is going to play more of a role moving forward, and communicating with your employer, for example. If your boss commands that you go in, are you entitled to go in? Do you choose not to go in? I don't know where that stands anymore for those that have got bosses, if you like.
I mean, on that point in particular, it's something I looked up today. The BBC website seems to suggest there isn't any legal protection. If you don't go in, then you don't get paid necessarily, but there's nothing. And Boris Johnson said people should be protected. If you've got children who you need to look after and you can't go back into work, they should be protected. But from a legal perspective, it doesn't sound like there's anything sort of in place. I mean, Rob, in terms of from your experience throughout lockdown, obviously you're juggling a large number of balls beforehand and still kind of, and doing an enormous amount. What have you learnt about sort of the circumstances that you're going to do differently in the future, do you think?
For me, it's been a good time to like catch myself, if you like, to sort of check in with myself. And I think reevaluate those roles and the time I'm going to give to those roles as well. And, reflect personally what I can do better at home and stop with the head down charging after work all the time. I think that's probably something for me. I think me and the missus probably need to communicate more. I get very proud about what I do for work, but then I go home, she might be stressed because she's had 3 kids for the day. So I park that and I don't really tell her about that sometimes because it's more important to look after that now. And that can lead to friction because you're not communicating right. So I think for me, better communication. I'm quite good at taking the responsibility and ownership of stuff, but I think sharing that more and communicating that more.
It's the thing we come back to time and again is communication. You're talking about communicating with your boss about whether you're allowed to come into work, and your boss should be communicating with you saying, what works and what doesn't work over lockdown, communicating with your partner about what's worked and what hasn't worked over lockdown and what you want to continue and all the rest of it. It's just, time and again, we come back to the same thing. Yeah. And it is communication.
And I think it starts earlier than that. It starts with what you're saying, Rob, about being honest with yourself about what your priorities are and reflecting back and saying, well, what is it all for in some ways? And once you've got that clear, I think, you get on a treadmill otherwise and you're just repeating the same kind of pattern because it's what you know and it's what you're good at and what you enjoy. And I think if you can get that self-reflection first, then it gives you a foundation to have those sort of more open and honest conversation about what's important. But sometimes the self-reflection, I think, is the hardest thing to do, especially in the day-to-day when there's a lot going on. I think that's probably, that sounds like a really good
thing. You get caught in the doing. Caught in that, and I think you revert to type as well. It's like, you see it all over. People just, it's like the a dog let off the leash. they've been locked down for 4 months and that's it. They're off. I've gone. And it's, I think people need to catch themselves a little bit and ask themselves why they're doing it.
That's very good advice. I'm inclined to wind it up there because I think that's very profound and good advice there. I don't think we can improve on that this week, can we? Yeah, I think that's a top tip is not to go dashing out of lockdown and take a moment to reflect if you can. And this weekend is probably the time. This is going to be out on Monday, so you probably missed your best opportunity, which would have been this weekend before the school holidays actually kick in. That's the time to do it. Maybe if you're watching this on the day it comes out today, do it now. This is a day to self reflect and think before the school holiday hamster wheel kicks in.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the reflection bit, I'm talking to my wife, who usually commutes into London, and she works as a lawyer, and her thought is that the senior partner, the managing partner, whatever role it is, I can't remember what they're called in her business, is likely to ask everyone to go back into work. That's what his probable preference. Mm-hmm. And she thinks the pushback will be from senior staff who come from further away. Younger staff who have been cooped up to a certain degree will enjoy being back in the office. And so you'll have these two different elements. And I said to her, what would you, if you could choose right now, what would you do? She said, well, apart from the fact that the trains are it's a bit confined, actually, I would choose 3 days in the office and 2 days at home. And I think that's whether that's something. And she used to work one day at home every couple of weeks would be her pattern. So we shall see whether that pans out.
One of the joys of being self-employed, right, Rob? You can have that conversation with yourself. Come into the office, Rob. No, I'm staying at home, Rob. No.
Ask me that question in 4 weeks worth of the 6 weeks holiday. I'm going to work every day.
Yes. Yes. And the weekends. Yeah.
particularly this year, absolutely. Right, just before you do the credits, Ian, I have to mention everybody lap this up because it's going next week.
Ooh, yeah.
Back next week.
Have you measured it?
My last one of the run, and it will be completely gone, but it will be much shorter. So, you know, anybody who's been enjoying
for those
anybody who's enjoying this over the last few weeks, you know, they watched it inch on inch. It's going to be a lot shorter.
I think it's worth saying that might sound slightly odd if you're listening to it as a podcast. So James is inch on inch. James is referring to his beard, and not to anything else that you may have maybe erroneously believing. So you need to go towards the end of the video on YouTube, and you can access that through Inspiring Dad's website. So yes, it's James's beard last week, so it's getting done on Tuesday.
Tuesday it's getting tidied up, so you know it'll be back to everyone I know that's had a haircut says it's amazing and it makes them feel like a new person. So I don't know, we'll discuss that next week how I feel.
Definitely.
When we get to the how are you next.
The missus did my hair, but unfortunately, I don't have a choice to grow a beard like that. It just doesn't. It's so annoying. I'm so jealous.
Never let it go that long before.
I need
to take a picture. So, yeah. We'll enjoy it while you can, people.
Lots of before and after pictures, I think. Definitely. Okay. Thank you everyone for joining us for today's episode. It's episode 12 of Lockdown Dads. If you can like and share and rate and review, that would be fantastic. You can listen and watch the other episodes in the series if you go to inspiringdads.co.uk. And there's a big red button in the top right-hand corner called Lockdown Dads.
He's done all that bit. Just remains for me to say thanks to Rob for joining us. Keep up the good work with Dad's in Business, and maybe we'll check in when all this is over a bit more. It'll be interesting to see how it develops as you're allowed to meet in the pub again. It'll be interesting to hear what that first meeting is like. So we'll keep an eye out for that on LinkedIn and social and all the rest of it. Thanks for joining us. Come back next week for another one of these. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Lockdown Dads podcast with me, Ian Dinwiddie, and my co-host, James Miller. We have 45 episodes available for you to explore with us and our amazing guests. If you enjoyed the content, why not visit inspiringdads.co.uk and sign up for our next webinar that explains why supporting new dads at work is the route to gender equality.